Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a group of Donegal doctors have released a statement calling for a yes vote in the upcoming abortion referendum. A Derry-based economist has published a new report suggesting that Brexit will have an adverse impact on job creation within Northern Ireland, while the Republic is set to gain jobs as a result. Five seafood processing and aquaculture companies across Donegal are to benefit from grants of almost €1.5 million. And there's speculation the Pope will visit Knox Marian Shrine during his visit to Ireland in August. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the trial of 23-year-old Vagat Bhagat, who is accused of murdering and raping Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin in Goa last year, has resumed today. The judge in the case has today asked the media to not publish detailed depositions and names of witnesses. Gail Conway reports.
According to India's Business Standard, the second witness in the case was today examined by the prosecution before the judge. Assistant Public Prosecutor Vijay Costa, who represented the state police, examined the second witness, who was present when the panchanama of the spot where Ms. McLaughlin's body was found was conducted. According to the police charge sheet, Bhagat had tried to force himself on the woman at an isolated place between the Kanakona and Agunda beaches. When she resisted, he hit her on the head with a beer bottle, raped and then strangled her before smashing the victim's face with a stone to destroy the evidence.
A group of Donegal doctors have released a statement calling for a yes vote in the upcoming abortion referendum. It follows a statement issued by a separate group of GPs in the county in recent days, advocating a no vote next month, owing to findings from the maternal death inquiry that deaths in Ireland were extremely rare. However, the yes doctors believe that the statistics fail to capture the experiences faced by many Irish women, and that death is a very low bar by which to set the standard for maternity services. The statement continues that in 2016, 63 women listed a Donegal address when seeking a termination in England or Wales. Dr. Noel Sharkey is one of 13 doctors who has signed the joint statement.
The overwhelming amount of global evidence that supports the access to free and safe legal abortion for women, and essentially the evidence, both research evidence and now all of the stories that we are hearing of Irish women who are telling of their healthcare stories under the Eighth Amendment. It's all of this evidence that has led us to form the opinion that we should call for a yes vote in the upcoming referendum.
In terms of the number of doctors who have signed this joint statement, not all of them, while they're all from Donegal, not all of them work in Ireland, indeed, some of them overseas. Do you think that perhaps maybe their experiences working in different countries has caused them to back the Yes campaign?
It might very well be, and I don't want to speak in terms of what motivates the other doctors on this issue, but certainly we work across a wide range of specialties. There are general practitioners amongst us, but also doctors working in psychiatry and emergency medicine and surgery. And certainly we've seen a wide breadth of scenarios, and it might very well be as well that, you know, experiencing those different experiences might have led us to inform this. But central to all medical work, And regardless of where we work or what our experiences are, we have to put our personal beliefs aside from time to time in medicine and work on an evidence-based approach.
And that interview and statement is available in full on our website, highlandradio.com. A Derry-based economist has published a new report suggesting that Brexit will have an adverse impact on job creation within Northern Ireland, while the Republic is set to gain jobs as a result. However, Paul Gosling says the adverse impact on Northern Ireland is likely to extend into Donegal because of the links between Donegal, Derry and Tyrone. He believes the key problem with Brexit is that people in Britain made very parochial decisions on how to vote in the referendum.
I think the Brexit was voted for by the English thinking about England, and really they weren't worried too much about the issues about the border or what the economic impact of Northern Ireland will be. We're looking potentially at tens of thousands of jobs in Northern Ireland being lost or at least not being created, and the impact will be particularly severe, not just in Northern Ireland, but also in Donegal. The border economy is really very integrated, and if there's any new barriers to trading across the border, then it will be damaging.
Meanwhile, the British government is fairly clueless when it comes to the border, according to Sinn Féin. Mary Lou McDonald says British Brexit Secretary David Davis's secret visit to the north shows that. Mr. Davis didn't alert political leaders or the media that he was planning to visit the Irish border for the first time. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald says it's a shame.
I think the view or the visit was certainly long overdue. It's now very, very clear that the British government and indeed Mr. Davis is fairly clueless in their approach to the Irish question, the border, the protection of the Good Friday Agreement. And I think the manner of the visit just reflected that yet again.
The issue of pension entitlements for community employment supervisors is to be debated this evening during private members' business in the Dáil. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher is bringing forward the motion calling for a satisfactory pathway to be found to address the pension issue for the 1,250 CE supervisors and assistant supervisors based on the 2008 Labour Court recommendation. The Labour Court recommended that an agreed pension scheme should be introduced. Deputy Gallagher is confident that a vote will pass on Thursday.
As far as Donegal is concerned, is that we as public representatives met with the community employment supervisors on a number of occasions, and we made very little progress in relation to the provision of pensions for these people. Now, we go back a number of years, and the Labour Court in 2008 made a recommendation that an agreed pension scheme would be introduced. However, the government have never implemented this. And we're talking about 3.3 million. We're forever lauding the work that the community employment schemes and the supervisors do, but this is a time for us to support these people, and we have had difficulties with the government. They've been totally intransigent, and we have now taken the debate to the House tonight, and there will be a vote on this on Thursday. It's been parliamentary question after parliamentary question. No success with the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform or from the Minister for Social Protection. However, tonight we'll highlight this, and I'm confident that the vote will be carried on Thursday, and I would expect that the government would implement the wishes of the Dáil.
There's speculation the Pope will visit Knox Marian Shrine during his visit to Ireland in August. The Pontiff is expected to visit two areas outside the capital as part of his two-day trip here, but the locations remain undisclosed. Pope Francis could fly into Knock Airport and make the short 20-minute journey to the shrine. Parish priest in Knock, Father Richard Gibbons, wasn't giving anything away.
We have no confirmation of this. I have none whatsoever, and we have to wait for Rome. We would be delighted to welcome Pope Francis. It was spoken about that the Pope might visit two places outside of Dublin. It could be Knock, and it could be Northern Ireland.
Ulster Bank says an issue with money disappearing from some customers' accounts was caused by human error. Customers have been reporting problems with their bank balance since last Friday. In some cases, money had disappeared. Others were reporting their cards had been declined. In an update, the bank says there is no connection to an IT system issue in 2012, and this problem was caused by human error after a payment file was not processed. It also hopes to have the issue rectified overnight. In the meantime, the bank says no customer will be left out of pocket. An emergency cash of up to €500 can be accessed in branch or over the phone. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says it's not the first time Ulster Bank customers have had issues.
We now hear stories of individuals getting text messages from Ulster Bank to inform them that they're overdrawn, despite the fact that it was the bank themselves that have disappeared their own customers' money. This comes on the back of a series of events that have happened in recent weeks in terms of IT glitches within the bank, but also a major problem 6 years ago where the bank shut down normal banking services to its customers.
Five seafood processing and aquaculture companies across Donegal are to benefit from grants of almost €1.5 million. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh has announced that Donegal is receiving the highest allocation in the country. Companies set to benefit include Atlantic Bluestack Oysters, Ocean Farm Limited, Recuse Shellfish, Bell's Isle Seafoods and Donegal Fish Limited. Minister McHugh says the funding provides opportunities for the companies to further develop research collaboration.
It adds value to the extraordinary work that has happened over the past 10 to 15 years in the sector, where a lot of people in the aquaculture processing sector wanted to add value, and I suppose add value means creating more jobs in the county rather than selling all of our raw produce by export. Now, some companies will still continue to do that, and the demand in some countries for the raw product will still be there. But if we can add value through sophisticated technology and new processing techniques and raising the standard and raising the bar, we're creating a reputation, and Donegal now has created that reputation. It's accepted within the department that Donegal has been at the cutting edge, and I think it's only right now that the money flows in behind new ideas, new ways of doing things, and with technology constantly changing, and obviously with demand for export product increasing, we have to look at where the best people and where the best businesses are doing this work, and obviously that's happening to quite an extent in our own county.
And today's announcement is part of an overall investment for the five companies, which will progress these even further now in the future.
I think what it does as well, it enriches that collaboration at an education level as well, and with LYT and Letterkenny and Kelly Beggs, now soon to get university status, their science and research departments will be obviously continuing that working relationship with these companies.
The Irish Natura Hill Farmers Association is urging progress on a Dáil motion which would, if put into practice, go some way in addressing the fodder crisis. The motion, which was passed last week, calls on the government to immediately bring forward a hardship fund, a meat voucher scheme, low-cost loans, as well as issuing balancing payments for outstanding schemes. President of the INHFA, Colm O'Donnell, believes all Oireachtas members have dragged their heels on the crisis by not intervening sooner. He's warning that the situation is worsening day by day and it has to be addressed efficiently.
The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association had actually written to all the Oireachtas members the week before that, appealing to them to intervene with the minister. The Dáil motion put forward by Fianna Fáil was supported by all members across the House. In our press release, I'm saying that I hope that it's more than just a PR exercise, because in our opinion, the politicians have dragged their heels for far too long on this, on behalf of their constituents. We flagged this to the minister and indeed to all politicians as far back as October or November. So, patting a Dáil motion is no good to the farmer on the ground unless it's acted upon, and acted upon now.
And obviously you are in touch with those farmers on the ground. What is the situation as it stands here, particularly in Donegal, in terms of that fodder crisis?
Well, according to figures compiled by Chagas in the north west region, including Donegal, there was a deficit on farms as far back as December. The average at that time was 40 to 45%, and I've no doubt that the situation has got worse since that time.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Club Championships.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with soccer, and Liverpool forward Mo Salah says he'll find it tough facing his old team Roma tonight. Jurgen Klopp's side host the Italian club for the first leg of their Champions League semi-final. Salah only moved to Anfield from Rome last summer, and he's now gone on to score 41 goals in all competitions so far. Here's the manager, Jurgen Klopp.
Pretty sure the Italian defenders are famous for not having friendly games. So I think Mo will feel pretty early in the game that they are not his teammates anymore, and then he can strike back in a football way.
Kick-off at Anfield tonight for Liverpool against Roma is at 7:45. In other soccer news, Cardiff can take a step closer to the Premier League promotion this evening with a win away to playoff hopefuls Derby. Elsewhere, Barnsley, they can move out of the bottom three with a win away to Nottingham Forest. And back at home, there's quarter-final action. The lineup will be confirmed in the EA Sports Cup after tonight's games. A trip to Cove Ramblers awaits the winners of tonight's meeting of Shamrock Rovers and Longford. That game's in Tala. Well, Shelbourne, they welcome Drogheda to Tolka Park with a meeting with Derry City, the carrot for both those sides. Both games kick off tonight at 7:45. Back cross channel and video assistant referee technology will be used for the first time in an FA Cup final when Chelsea play Manchester United at Wembley next month. Neil Swarbrick's been chosen to assist on-pitch official Michael Oliver. The match will kick off at 5:15 on the 19th of May. And Germany have submitted a bid to host the 2024 European Championships. Turkey are expected to enter a rival bid later this week. Germany last hosted the tournament when the Republic of Ireland made their first finals appearance in 1988. In the Anishinaabe League tonight, the Jackie Crossan Premier Division, games kicking off at 6:45 tonight. Ely Celtic, they host Glengad. Glengad can go top, can go 3 points clear at the top, clear of Aileach, with two games to play if they win tonight. The other game tonight sees Coldaff playing Greencastle. Coldaff game kicks off at 7:30, while the Ely's game kicks off at 6:45. In schools, FAA schools action today, there was an FAA schools first year's boys national cup semi-final taking place today. It was disappointing news for Cairn Donagh Community School. They were defeated 4-1 by St Kieran's College Kilkenny after extra time. It was 1-1 after full time. Kieran Cantwell scoring for Cairn Donagh, but St Kieran's went on to win 4-1. And in the first year B boys national cup semi-final, the Royal Prior was defeated by Dublin Oak Academy of Bray. It finished 3-1. Joshua Maxwell with the Royal Prayer goal in that one. And elsewhere, tomorrow the FAA Schools Dr. Tony O'Neill Senior National Cup final takes place. Colastia Kieran of Athlone, they play Cairn Donagh Community School. That one kicks off at 1 o'clock tomorrow at Home Farms Ground up in Whitehall. Moving on to rugby, and Brian O'Driscoll has described Issa Nasiwa as the common denominator for all Leinster's successes. The province confirmed today that both the 35-year-old Fijian and hooker Rickard Strauss are retiring at the end of the season. Leinster head coach described the duo as two of the best players to have ever worn the blue jersey. Nasiwa has won three European Cups at Leinster and hopes his second spell will end with victory in Bilbao next month. Brian O'Driscoll understands why he's retiring.
You do feel a bit vulnerable, particularly out on the wing. I think he looks really good and secure in the centre, but that's because, you know, there's help all around him. Whereas, because he's savvy, he won't get exposed badly on the wing, but it's just getting away from him a little bit. The gas is, you know, that was once there isn't really anymore.
Leinster, they dominate the shortlist for European Player of the Year. Man of the match in the semi-final win over the Scarlets, Scott Fardy, is joined by his teammates Tadhg Furlong and Jonathan Sexton. Completing the five-man shortlist are Racing pair Maxime Machino and Leon Nakewa. And another player confirming his retirement today is Brian Habana. The joint record try scorer in Rugby World Cup history is 34 and has struggled to force his way back into the Toulon side after having knee surgery last year. Habana won the World Cup with the Springboks in 2007 and along with the late John Alumu scored 15 tries in his three finals appearances. In boxing, it's been a mixed afternoon at the European Youth Championships in Italy for Peter O'Donnell's Irish team. In the women's, two fighters progressed to the finals and will get a silver medal at the very least, while two have won bronze. Dana Moorhouse at featherweight and Dervla Rooney at bantamweight won their semi-finals to make Wednesday's finals and have a chance of a gold medal. And light welterweight Evelyn Aguero and middleweight Lauren Kelly, they lost their semi-finals but still go home with bronze medals. Jude Gallagher from the Two Castles Club in Tyrone and Dean Clancy, they fight in the last four this evening. In cycling, Letterkenny's Philip Dagnan has been named in Team Sky's provisional squad for the upcoming Giro d'Italia. Dagnan, who won a stage in the Valletta España in 2009, has been riding for Team Sky since 2014. Three other Irishmen are poised to join Dagnan, and they're in the provisional squad. They are Nicholas Roach, Sam Bennett and Ryan Mullen. In horse racing, there's three grade ones down for decision on the opening day of the Punchestown Festival. It's got underway today. The Boyle Sports Champion Chase is the feature, with Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott each saddling three entries as they vie for the title of champion trainer. That one starts at 5:30. Well, Mullins has made €53,000 dent in Gordon Elliott's lead in the race for the champion trainer. Draconian claimed the Herald champion novice hurdle at a price of 25-1, and 16-1 shot not just wait and see, claimed the opening race of the festival, the Father Sean Breen Memorial Chase. And finally for this evening, in snooker, two-time world champion Mark Williams has made a bright start to the 2018 Crucible campaign. He leads Jimmy Robertson by 5 frames to 1. On the other table, Ricky Walden, he leads Luca Brazel by 8 frames to 4. Later, Stuart Bingham, he's in danger of becoming the fourth former champion to exit at the first round stage of the World Championships. He'll resume 5-4 down on Jake Lazowski. That's at the Crucible this evening. And earlier today, Ding Jung Wei, he won 4 frames on the trot to complete a 10-3 win over Zhao Gudong. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. A motion is to come before Derry City and Strabane District Council this week, calling on the local authority to impress on the Department of Infrastructure the importance of the A-Tube on Cranna Road as an economic driver for the entire northwest region. This is a major arterial route on which thousands of commuters from Donegal travel on a daily basis. Councillor Kevin McKnight, who is bringing forward the motion, says it is now time to showcase the Northwest as a region that needs to be invested in.
Especially with the development of the A5 and the A6, it's now important that we focus on the A2. It is a main arterial route linking Derry to the Northwest of Ireland. So it's very important that we can show the people that we have the infrastructure in place to bring new businesses to the city and district region.
And this is a gateway to Donegal, which is used on a daily basis by many commuters across the border.
Oh, definitely. It's thousands of commuters use this road on a daily basis, whether for work or pleasure. So it's very important that we have this road completed so that it's there and it's been used. It's vital, basically, to the economy here.
And this is a long-running issue, so it is frustrating now that it's still at this stage.
Yes, my other party colleague, Tony Hassan, who's just stepped down from council there, he's been lobbying for this road since the early 2000s, if not before that. And it just seems one issue after another just seems to keep pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back. But we need to now push it forward and let people know that we are a city and district that needs infrastructure, that needs the development and needs investment. So it's going to be at the forefront now, in my eyes anyway, for the foreseeable future.
Detectives have arrested a 49-year-old man in connection with the attempted murder of an off-duty police officer in Derry on February the 22nd, 2017. A viable under-vehicle improvised explosive device was discovered at the home of the officer in the Arnalee area. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The man was arrested in the Cregan area under the Terrorism Act and has been taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite, where he's been questioned by police. This is the fifth person to be arrested to date. The officer leading the investigation, Inspector Peter McKenna, said had the device exploded with the police officer and his young family in the car, it would have had devastating consequences. Police believe the new IRA were responsible for the attack, during which they say they put the safety of all members of the community at risk, as the device was left in a residential area and could have exploded at any time. Police also believe there are still people in the community who hold vital pieces of information that could assist police and are appealing to them to make contact with detectives.
For weather now, there will be a mix of scattered heavy showers and clear spells this evening. Lowest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees with a light to moderate breeze. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the trial of 23-year-old Vagat Bhagat, who is accused of murdering and raping Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin in Goa last year, has resumed today. The judge in the case has asked the media to not publish detailed depositions and names of witnesses. A group of Donegal doctors have released a statement calling for a yes vote in the upcoming abortion referendum. It follows a statement issued by a separate group of GPs in the county in recent days, advocating a no vote next month, owing to findings from the maternal death inquiry that deaths in Ireland were extremely rare. A Derry-based economist has published a new report suggesting that Brexit will have an adverse impact on job creation within Northern Ireland, while the Republic is set to gain jobs as a result. However, Paul Gosling says the adverse impact on Northern Ireland is likely to extend into Donegal because of the links between Donegal, Derry and Tyrone. And a motion is to come before Derry City and Strabane District Council this week, calling on the local authority to impress on the Department of Infrastructure the importance of the A2 Buncrana Road as an economic driver for the entire northwest region. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Tuesday evening, April the 24th, the death has taken place of Michael McDade, 10A, Millfield Heights, Buncrana. His remains will be reposing at Porter's Funeral Home, Meenagori, Buncrana, tomorrow with viewing from 5pm to 7pm. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Maureen Lynch, Naburg, to Pinewood Crescent, Clody, County Derry. Funeral from her late residence on Thursday, going to St Patrick's Church, Clody, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Siobhan Fox, 37 Beechwood Road, Letterkenny. Viewing at the Eternal Light Chapel for us tomorrow evening from 5 o'clock to 6:30, with removal to St Eunan's Cathedral to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Comal Cemetery. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Lily Noon, late of Ballina Gran, Glenealy. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from her home tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Boken, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, or if desired, donations in lieu to the Patient's Comfort Fund, Karen Dunnett, care of any family member, or Liam Collins, funeral director. Family time from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has taken place of Jimmy Rosie Brennan in Manchester, England, and formerly Oxmeen Dunlow. Remains are reposing at his home in Radcliffe, Manchester, from Saturday. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Radcliffe, on Wednesday the 2nd of May at 1:30, with cremation afterwards.